Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where our intent is to avoid the possibility of future misunderstandings when projects developed by or on behalf of It's a Thing, whether internally or by third parties, might seem to others to be similar to their own creative ideas or materials. Therefore, please do not make any such unsolicited submissions to Tom or Molly through this website or by text message or otherwise. Thanks for joining us.
Which is exactly the opposite of what we do. We're like, send us your things.
And we're like, send us all your ideas and we will use them. And then we'll get mad at anybody.
That's it.
That's all it should ever be. Yeah, what is this from?
This is from Legendary Entertainment.
Oh my God.
Before using www.legendary.com.
I don't know what legendary is, but this is not uncommon. For the entertainment world to be like, please don't send me your unsolicited screenplay and then sue me for writing something close to it because there are only 8 ideas in the world.
Pretty much. And you know,
we would never do that.
When you're making Dune, you've got some money, which means people are going to be out for you.
So they're the Dune people, right?
The Fremen. The Dune people.
The Fremen will totally sue you for.
Yeah.
They'll
knife you with their Chris knife.
Yes, there. They will do that.
How did I remember that? Chris knife?
I don't know. That
I
was
can't
good.
Remember most anything these days, but I can remember Chris knife.
Tom and I are a little post CES right now. If you hear a tiny bit of a wheeze in my nose and all of that stuff in his, it's because Las Vegas plus winter.
Yeah. Why do they put, and I'm not the first person to say this today, why do they put CES so close to Christmas?
I don't know. You're not the first person to say that in the last like 30 years. Yet they don't care.
It's just when it is.
I don't know, but I have had that sort of, because it takes like 3 full days to recover from CES. There's like the one day where, you know, I got home on Thursday night and I ducked out early, slept 11 hours. Got out of bed, did some things around the house, immediately started crying from exhaustion, had to go back to bed. Like there's that day. Then there's the just kind of like, I'm just going to chill. And then there's the day where you crawl out of all of that and go, oh my God, I have not done anything of significance December 18th.
Yeah.
And everything needs to be put back together in life.
And then Samsung decides to hold Unpacked the week after CES.
So not cool.
Just rude. Just rude.
Unbelievably rude. And then you start crying again and have to go back to bed. It's a thing.
Thank you. Welcome to our TED Talk. I saw something in the Vegas. Where was this exactly that made me take a note that sticker graffiti is a thing?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it was a bench waiting for the monorail, maybe? Was it the monorail? Or was it something else? Oh, no. No. It was waiting for my Uber ride back at LAX. Little bench that I was sitting waiting for my ride share, covered in graffiti. But stickers.
Really?
So, like, I'm used to benches and poles and stuff having like, flyers, maybe?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, spray paint graffiti covered in stickers, like just stickers for stuff. Some of them are websites. Some of them are bands. Some of them, I don't know what they are. I'm going to put this in our Discord though, so everybody can see it. It it's definitely, I feel like enough. When you see the number of stickers covering this bench, you're like, well, that bench alone makes it a thing.
Right.
And totally. I'm wondering if it's also not a thing elsewhere as well.
Huh. I don't know, but I would love to know. I mean, I guess stickers are more accessible, and in a lot of places they've made spray paint really, really hard to come by.
Yeah. So it, this maybe is it's not like in it Vegas. Goes with this like
DJ culture. Right.
Well, maybe it's an LA thing. But yeah, look at that.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh yeah, 100%. That is enough stickers to make this a thing.
And the pole right next to it also covered in stickers.
And some of the stickers themselves look like graffiti.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh. So have we moved to a post-graffiti society where it's like, you know, natural spray paint, that's for the artisans. I respect it, but I ain't got time for that. If I'm going to do my tagging, I got to get it done. I'm just going to sticker that stuff.
Well, according to Wikipedia, sticker art is a form of street art, no question.
Sure.
Where images are displayed using stickers, and they are known as slaps in the graffiti context. That's good to know. Which is actually kind of awesome. I know. I like that. And they're saying, like,
this bench is full of slaps.
This bench is full of slaps.
This bench slaps.
It's a thing. This bench slaps.
Skateboard Alliance of Montana.
What?
Is one of the stickers on there? Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Discover Scuba with Josh. The Makalasi Posse.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I like the idea that stickers could be making a comeback. I mean, they're obviously not great for the environment or whatever, but I bought them for everybody in the pool, so I can't really complain. I'm looking and just seeing if there's any, like, you know, news results about stickers. Yeah. Apparently college football players are doing stickers all over their helmets. All right, I'm going to give it to you. I like it. And then obviously let us know. feedback@itsathing.me.
Yeah, where are you seeing this elsewhere?
Yeah. Are you seeing sticker graffiti?
Besides your laptop. laptop stickers have been a thing for a long time, but they seem to have escaped from the laptop.
And made their way out.
So sticker graffiti. There you go. Oh, look at Zoe. She's got DTNS stickers all over her laptop.
Oh, amazing. Okay, well, I will understand if while you were walking around New York City in particular, you didn't notice any stickers because the only thing you saw was the billboard-sized pictures of Jeremy Allen White in the new Calvin Klein ad.
Yes,
which,
chef.
Like, yes, chef. Exactly. Which I'm, like, arguably sort of a week late to because of CES, but could not let. I cannot let this pass. Like, I don't know if you saw it or if you felt the tremor of thirst that occurred from the Earth's core when Calvin Klein, which has been doing basically the underwear beefcake ad for what, like 30 years now?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just time honored tradition at this point.
Like, dropped the oldest of old school porn. Softcore porn, I think, is the only thing we can call it, with Jeremy Allen White of course, The Bear fame, Carmy, who always, you know, it's like, it's kind of one of those, like, when you've been watching The Bear, you're like, God, Carmy is, like, ripped. Like, that dude's pretty jacked. And then I've been seeing some other pictures on Instagram.
I also know something else about Carmy now.
Yeah. We do know a lot. Like, we got, like, and it's funny too, because we live in a world of much more overt sexuality than, like, you and I grew up in, but it still was like, oh, that's a full frontal.
Yeah. My grandparents are not okay with this.
No.
And I'm not sure that my parents would be.
And yet I think they might be, because
they might.
I think
personally, everyone.
You're not done with that until you're dead, is all I'm saying. And this was a pretty universally received moment in time. I guess he's been training to play a wrestler right now, which is why he's so. But so it happened, and it was, I mean, it's rare for things to rise above in the pop culture anyway, right? And so it was kind of amazing that it just, like, was rocketing around and the tremor of thirst occurred. But then all of the hilarious things that have come since then just make it. Just cement it as such a hilarious thing. And so, like, The New Yorker did a cartoon that was just a, like, a post-coital scene, two people lying in bed, and the man saying to the woman, so what was all that yes, chef stuff about? And then their caption, and this was amazing because of it's a thing, was I-Y-K-Y-K.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And then there was a McSweeney's piece about it that was just like two moms writing to Jeremy Allen White and being like, you know what? It's a little much for me. Like, I don't think I can deal.
Because let's get this clear. This is a public advertisement.
Yeah.
This isn't, I chose to tune in to a show where Jeremy Allen White may or may not be scantily clad or naked. This is, I'm just walking outside.
Yep. I'm just walking outside in New York City, and or all of my friends sent me the ad, the 50-second ad they did with the You Don't Own Me song.
Uh-huh.
That features like a full
frontal. I like the New Yorker title, The Shareable Feast.
Yes.
Of Jeremy Allen White's Calvin Klein hat.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly what it was. And it was just a pop culture earthquake that isn't, you know, I don't know if they made any Emmys jokes about it or whatever, but it just is, it's.
I mean, damn, you could keep incredible pencils in his abs. That's impressive.
It's just absurd. And that's what I love about the, like, I think it was the McSweeney's probably piece. It's like these two moms folders being like, I don't even want that. Like, it's too intimidating. Like, I just, I think cousin would be, you know, more accepting of our actual real human bodies. It just did not stop. So congratulations, Calvin Klein.
Well done.
Because
well
you done. Have done it again. And his thing is a thing.
And I'm congratulations. So sorry. Congratulations, Jeremy Allen White. Also. Thank you.
Seriously. That work has paid off.
That's some hard work put in there. Some of it's natural. Some of it's gift, you know, God's gift to Jeremy Allen, but a lot of it's hard work too.
Oh, so that's hard work. Yeah. That's amazing.
I mean,
is pretty insane what this man has managed to accomplish in the
indeed.
Oh, and thank you, the chat who put the McSweeney's piece. It's like, we appreciate the work that's gone into creating your perfect 6, 8, 5,000 pack abs. Your shoulders look hewn from the same Carrara marble that Carmi's ancestors used to build temples. But sir, this level of hotness has scrambled our GPS, and we are frankly terrified to explore your highways and side streets, even within the cozy confines of our private fantasy life. Anyway, it was a thing. Also, one more great line and then I'll let it go. If we're being honest, the sight of your perfect 3/4 size body in these iconic tidy whities.
It's
the 3/4 size body thing that killed me. Because all of that is true, but he's not a tall man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a thing.
Three body problem going on here.
Hey-o.
Me, Jeremy, and who else?
Lord.
That needs a topo map.
I mean, what the hell? Like, no one can stop of either gender or I mean, there's
is beyond gender.
And the New Yorker, it's like, I'm a lesbian and I can 100% be here for this. Like, bonkers.
Well, that puts mine final thing for this episode to shame. I just want to note for the record, maybe I should have led with this one instead. Sticker graffiti was a little better.
No, it's good.
People saying, my superpower is.
Yeah.
My superpower is. Well, that's my superpower. Oh, I guess my superpower is listening, or, you know, oh, my superpower is being late for work, or, you know, just whatever it is, just by saying, oh, I guess that's my superpower. My superpower is.
I think the related thing too is me wanting them to stop that. Because
that's your superpower.
It's
your desire to stop them.
I mean, look, maybe I'm being a little Midwest here and like let people own their superpowers and, you know, be who you are and be proud of your skills. But yeah, the superpower talk has gone on just a little bit too long. This is a long time tech industry thing too. I mean, I think I've been hearing founders and tech people and VCs and everybody saying this for a long time, and now it seems to have just like popped out.
Yeah, I think it has. It is broken out of containment. And it has become a thing where the first time I heard it, you know, or maybe the first 100 times I heard it, I was like, oh, okay, Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, you have a talent for this, right?
Yep.
You know, my superpower is being able to do math in my head. You know, oh, okay, yeah, that's kind of like a superpower because not everybody can do that. I have heard it devolve into like, my superpower is eating frosting, or, you know, just like, you know, like my superpower is walking outside. It's become a thing where people are just describing traits about themselves, but it's like, no, that's, I don't know if that fits the metaphor of my superpower is.
Well, it's a lot more bearable if it moves into used in ironic context.
Oh, I see. Now it bothers me more because it's not ironic. It's like, my superpower is red hair. I'm like, red hair is sort of unique, but I don't know if that qualifies as a superpower.
Oh, so it's not even all the way too ironic? It's like kind of saying
No. The people I'm talking about are not saying it ironically. They're just saying that, like, here's a thing I think is unique about me.
That's worse. Mm. Yeah. Oh, God. And it's not. Nothing is unique about anybody. Except Jeremy Allen White's abs. No one else can do that.
His superpower is very clear.
His abs. My God. Oh, what are we even?
Yeah.
Well, my next thing is sort of a thing check and also a thing. Because I saw this really cute video on Instagram where I apparently spend all my time now. And it went super viral. And it was these people who were like, our golden retriever loves his stuffed yellow duck toy so much that we made a life-size one. And these people bought a costume of a stuffed yellow duck, and the dog went ape doodle over it and like chases them around and is so excited. And even when there's no person in there, the dog just like loses his damn mind over this life-size stuffed yellow duck. And I was like, oh, that's adorable. And the video went super viral. But then randomly, I was talking to someone, I think at CES, like at a dinner or something, who was talking about like, oh yeah, everybody is buying these. Evidently, yellow is like a color that dogs can see. And these, right, news to me. And I have not DuckDuckGo'd this, no pun intended, to verify. But there was this whole conversation about, oh, everybody's buying these stuffed yellow duck toys for their dogs. And I was like, wait, could that be related to the hilarious video of the people with the huge yellow duck thing? And then there just ensued this entire conversation about these duck toys being a really big deal. Now, I couldn't find, you know, my standard news search did turn up the extreme virality of these people who bought the giant duck suit for their dog and took them on walks with it and stuff, which made me feel like, by the way, a subpar dog parent. I can't quite tell if there is indeed, you know, if this is like the new Lammy. The stuffed yellow duck toy.
Yeah.
But I think
because Lammy definitely was a thing.
Yeah. For kids and dogs, actually.
Yeah.
And it seems, so I'm kind of asking if the duck is in the Lammy territory. I did find one on Amazon that, you know, seems to be a bonkers bestseller. It's like got 15,000 ratings, 4.5 stars, and it's like 50,000 bought in the last month, which feels like a large volume.
It does.
A dog toy, but I still don't know. I don't know. But I will
still
say I bought
a lot
two.
Of people.
$6. It was a $6 toy. I bought two of them.
Yeah. I have not seen this one. By the way, according to VCA Animal Hospitals, dogs see blue really well. Yellow, orange, and green all look yellow. And then other colors like red appear dark brown or gray.
Yeah. I got from Pet Helpful that they can see yellow and blue.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. And then a bunch of
yellow,
colors look
orange
like
is yellow.
Yellow.
Green is yellow. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But blue is what they see the best, according to VCA, anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let us know if you're hearing about this duck thing. But also, if you haven't seen the video.
I mean, it's definitely a thing. Just how widespread and where else. All of that. Yeah.
And just go look up the video of these people and their stupid.
Because I saw the life-size. Hysterical. Like, that alone is a thing. The life-size dog toy video.
Oh my God.
I definitely saw that.
And please let us know also when you're emailing us at feedback@itsathing.me if it also made you feel like a subpar dog parent.
No,
I'm not doing that.
I just got judgy and was like, oh yeah. I mean, they probably faked this, filled it with treats. I don't know.
No, come on. So cute. So funny. That dog was so happy.
At least the dog was happy. Whatever the truth is, as
honestly,
long as it was a happy dog.
That's all that matters. And if mine liked the $6 Amazon stuffed duck toy, I'll be thrilled. Assuming they don't gut it.
Well, let's get to the feedback at itsathing.me. Our THD Manny, I would say Manny is like, you know, dean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not just a THD.
Yeah, he's like an emeritus at this
point. Yeah, yeah. Manny's back with a new meme thing. Manny says, short and sweet here, new meme that's probably going to be gone in a month. But for now, it's a thing. That's about it. It's Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon in a cartoon animation dancing, and it's everywhere. So the character Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon dancing.
Okay. To Driftvale City is apparently the song.
In this particular example that Manny sent, yeah.
Right. And somebody made an entire hour of it.
Because also hour-long, you know, vibe videos also, as we have covered previously, a thing. So
very true.
Toothless dancing into an hour-long Driftvale City Pop video, like multiple things all in one.
I mean, this is so random and amazing that I now expect to start seeing it. I expect to start seeing stickers of this particular animation of Toothless everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Incredible. I mean, if Manny,
Manny
says it, we
it's
believe
real.
It.
Yeah. Even if you don't believe it now, but you'll believe it later.
You'll see. You'll see. Another Gen X parent of Gen Alphas has a thing formation. Can confirm my Gen Alpha kid also says Sussy Baka and also a Minecrafter. I asked my Gen Z and he said, yes.
Oh, kids are saying okay. It. Mm-hmm. Kids are saying, he said kids are saying it. Not that he, his friends say it.
He said it's like a Minecraft thing.
Ah,
totally.
Okay. So
confirmed.
Aware. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. That's good to have Gen Alpha in the thing pool.
It is.
Welcome.
I'm excited. This is like a whole new bubbling spring of thingitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Hood has a thing for our consideration. Welcome home, Molly, Tom, and Rich. I have a thing that completely baffles me. Tunnels. Well, Joe, they're holes.
Well, no, they are. Anyway.
Suddenly, tunnels are a huge thing. First, it was the tunnel lady on TikTok who decided to dig a tunnel from her basement and document it. She has been digging it for more than a year and would show up randomly in my algorithm. In December, details came out and a backlash started. She lives in suburban Virginia, is not a physical engineer, but a software engineer, has no permits or permission to do this digging. It's been a wild ride. Then, last week, a video showed up of Hasidic Jewish men coming out of a tunnel in the ground in New York. Evidently, they dug a tunnel between a historic site and a synagogue, traveling under several offices and warehouses. I've not heard about their motivation or methods, but two major tunneling stories in a month seems like a weird thing to happen. Maybe 2024 is the year of the tunnel.
Wow. Okay, but there is a Guardian story about this Crown Heights tunnels being a 3-decade saga, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if that means like tunnels generally are going to be a
thing.
But
worth keeping an eye on.
Worth keeping an eye on.
Two is an alert. Not yet a thing, but definitely an alert in the tunnel widen thing. The Brook or the engineer, the tunnel lady definitely seems like a thing.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And heaven help us, because I guess if that's a thing, then more people are going to be trying to do it. I mean, then, of course, there's also, there has been, like, I don't want to bring us to a downer place, but there has also been a lot of conversation about tunnels because of Hamas.
Yes, true.
So
tunnels are
possible,
on the brain. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm thinking that could be a little bit of an inception thing. Like, maybe you're already thinking of that because
there's
you're
been hearing
so
a lot, thinking about, and then you notice. It's a little Bader-Meinhof kind of situation.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it, but I guess we'll find out.
Maybe
who
not.
Knows?
We don't know. Yeah. That's why we do the show, to investigate all the things.
Exactly. And to do so in partnership with you, dear listeners. Thank you for showing up and supporting the show and making it, I don't know, just better every freaking week, particularly by supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/itsathing. You literally pay our salaries and keep the show on the air. And those of you who support us at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing get custom shout outs week after week. This week's shout outs are based on quotes from middling reviews about the 2006 film 300.
This is the movie about Thermopylae, right? Like this, the battle.
It's that super stylized, like,
yeah.
Is Sparta. Yeah. Gerard Baker.
And so Rich didn't just go for reviews about an old movie. He went for middling reviews.
Middling reviews. Not even terrible.
Right.
Just middling. Like, just meh, like mid, fine.
It's okay.
Fine. My deepest objection to Brian Gianfracaro is that it is so A.B. puppy soaked. Mm. When Vailor Trucks arrives to interrupt Lee Price, it's like the seventh inning stretch.
Part of the fascination of the Jake Woods story is that it really happened, and it helped define real Gabriel Cohen. There's nothing remotely like Joe Hood to be had in Mike Akins.
Lara Abel Gluttony is reason enough to see Kevin Sill. And few Eric Duncans overstuff the eyes like A.J. Venturella.
So true. Morris Jones will be talked about as a Louis St. Amour achievement, the next blip on the increasingly blurry line between James C. Smith and Benjamin Forrest.
I've circled all the way back to Jeremy Allen White with the arrival of the new phrase, overstuff the eyes.
Yep. Overstuff the eyes, indeed, Chef.
Thank you for enduring the awkwardness of this week's episode of It's a Thing. Thank you to those of you who have become members. The benefits, by the way, of joining us at patreon.com/a thing are that you get access to our Discord, where you can chat along live with your fellow listeners every week. You get an ad-free RSS feed and perhaps a few more benefits that we'll be reviewing in 2024.
You can also support the show by buying some stuff through our affiliate links. Now, we might not have actual Italian-style beef, but you can find other things in our shopping page at itsathing.me/shop and email us your things to feedback@itsathing.me.
Looking for the affiliate link to Calvin Klein underwear right now. See you next week. Give it to me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.